said, colleagues, that I don't think that we are going to spend more time. The commission would have to respond to the person, the last round of questions raised, but do that as they actually summarize and close on their part, giving closing a remark. I want to indicate that maybe one will be critical because after them, the would have then given opportunity to the chambers and justice to close the session and then they would go to the next item. I think maybe it's necessary that one may indicate that as we're considering the state of the public service report, and of course it being a living document and it being actually considered for the first time, we can actually agree that this was just for the first round of considering the state of the public service report. It may not be said to be the very last encounter that we actually did with this report. Obviously, there's a need for follow-up. You know, more especially, Professor Mayantula indicated that having received this report, you would like to see more on education and stuff like that. It comes out very clear that if we had as many representatives of all portfolio committees as we intended, it would be very clear that we are actually addressing this issue for what we wanted it to be. A state of the public service that talks to a broader public service like that. So there's a need for a follow-up. And I think what we then do, we may want to structure our follow-up in five different approaches or five different ways. One being that being the portfolio committee on public service and administration and the other portfolio committees that were invited here. What we may want to then do is to agree that we need to then say in all areas where the report suggests that there is room for improvement in our public service, we just consider or deem our department to be reported until they prove to us otherwise. We then suggest that we need to develop our program of follow-up to then check on what the report suggests are areas where there is room for improvement and we'll deal with that. I think it suggests that a lot more on that aspect. I think that is what we need to do. We therefore need to then say we'll find a way in the portfolio committee to take on board all those other committees that have not been included as yet on this stage of the public service report considering today, that they actually do that. Ourselves as a portfolio committee on public service, when we deal with that issue of the assumption, that is the first of the five I said, an assumption that all the entities that we have oversight on are deemed to be reported, meaning that they may have to say in one way or another as to how they deal with the issues that the report suggests, if there is more that needs to be done. We, for instance, ourselves, we have in our program that we are going to do conducting inspection later, I think it's around in October, where we're targeting to go to a housing, for instance. And also having failed to go out in April to follow up on the program that we set in 2005. We are considering the possibility that in October we may spend a week doing that. So it may be an opportunity that would then be some of the issues that are raised by in the state of the public service report that need follow-up, we may need to actually take them on and then actually get these things to be done. By means that we're actually doing exactly what the Professor Zambuini has indicated, that you see, much as we say there is a lot of reputation, that cannot only refer to the issues that are being raised in the past by the public service committee, but also second approach would be, of course, there will be a need for a follow-up meeting. A follow-up meeting of this kind, where you intend it to include other portfolio committees. But my view in advice that follow-up meeting process would not be for the purpose of debating on the state of the public service report and scheme, but to then say, let's talk about formulating, adopting a report ourselves as portfolio committees of parliament. To then say, we submit to parliament a report that talks to this report, as committees of parliament, having received a report on the state of the public service. This is what we report to parliament. What are the observations that we're making? And what are the recommendations that we're making that putting in the report? And as we do that, of course, it will be necessary that we look at the detailed presentation that has been given to this committee on issues around the PAIA and PAIA, as other members have indicated. And also the issue about retention. We had a presentation on retention in the public service. It was also a theme of last year's national international conference of food and institute of administration, where we have been part. And then, and so I will take the process forward. We may actually have to look at that. Then the fourth one will be chapter, and I think it may be good if we say for the first time as committees of parliament having engaged on the report on the state of the public service, get this report created in parliament. And where it will not only be the responsibility of this portfolio committee in participating on that issue, but it will be all committees of parliament engaging on the report. For what the report means to the department that each committee has oversight on, so that we would then be able to be taking that process forward. And of course, the fifth point is on the question of our leaders as a committee. Mr. Ulysses has raised the issue of responding to our Professor Sanguini. Suggest that we might want to look at the issue around the portfolio, whether we are a portfolio or a staging or a select committee. I think there is a need that we actually look at portfolios that are there. We have overarching portfolios within our public service. If yes, we do, if the portfolio of public service and administration, that overarching portfolio. If the question is yes, are we having legislative that is actually talking to that effect? What is that legislative saying? Is the current bill that we're talking about part of that legislative that is actually putting at the center this portfolio of my quantity of public service, and what are the implications in as far as that is concerned? This is a debate that we need among ourselves. And we take forward the speech of the public service report. We may need to exactly address that. Having said that, it comes out very clear that we may not exhaust debating our discussion or considering the speech of the public service report in a question and
cut us down, or because of this, but I think we have cut us here to the truth of what the intended to achieve by supporting the state. And it is what we like how it was best. That's what we've brought down to say in the question, but as we say, we take them as a question here which is the debate that we both as much respect that can actually support stimulate and therefore assist in the direction of finding answers. But however, there are one or two banning methods that we got one more that way. What I think I just want to one issue and then I would ask if what is also one or two banning methods that you want to support. Then we have to give information from the other people's information. What I just wanted to make an observation on is so much of the support to honor the system, especially that the developmental aspect of the evaluation. And when you try to see what you understand, whether the head of the bank is such a thing, and to say that yes, this is an area that we constantly come across in the course of the issue of the evaluation. And but I must say here that we have not in the commission addressed that subject as a matter for discussion. And I suppose what is happening here is the nature of the system that they use the next subject matter of the implementation in the sense which they are subject to the question. But I can say empirically my observation is that that is perhaps one of the major constraints in the economy. Very frequently, you do get very engaged by the agencies when they are presented for evaluation and abuse. In order to say yes, there are one or two areas that they specify in the case of analyzing from the common examples of the system, and then specifically the area in which they need to be developed. But the major constraints that I compared that what was one of them is a big problem is the time that would allocate their knowledge or allocate for that knowledge. The cost of the work that they are for any development program, you have to fight the time. But I think another question is that
Yeah.
the other issue, and I think we totally agree that the rate of the qualified
form of project in one rather than say wait for because we are all South African and we are talking to South Africans. That was the improvement of the situation of the country. I was listening attentively, but then although I watched at the end of your report on a Monday night, I was still met the next thing professor was reporting in all languages. I said this is long overdue. Even on anti-corruption, it's long overdue. The people, the society, they with their language, level language, want to know, they hear and they read these human papers, but in actual fact, they do not know the root cause of all of these things that you have. It's very important, it's very exciting, but I didn't get everything, so I think I missed a lot. I thank you very much. Another thing, maybe without delay, there was a debate, Mr. Clark, between the DA and who to be found regarding the proposed policy conference of the African National Congress of minimizing, maybe possible, the progress. There seems to be misunderstanding of how did we came to this compromise during 1994 of having these nine provinces. But I was happy the way in which Mr. Sereza was explaining to the public there to have some demarcations that are made which are causing problems now and the lack of skill in the implementing structures of the government. The local government. Is it not possible for the country, for this society, to re-look into this whole thing for the better implementation of what is going on? But Trollip was arguing a little bit of not understanding the background of Angola. But at the end of it, the summary that he also made, he made me to feel happy that he does understand now why we have all. So I'm not putting this as a debate, I'm not putting this as an item. I'm trying to say also the Public Service Commission is there also to help us on this issue. People do not know. People just come into this government now, don't know why we had all these nine problems. The reason that has led to that. In a few ways, I think I'm happy to listen to what they summarize it. And let us proceed to the next item, which is the CPSA. So, the Commission on the Consideration of the Public Service Amendment. Okay. Go ahead.
Thank you, Chair. I'm going to try and also with you to think just a very quick introduction. As you know, the North Public Service Amendment Bill was circulated to all national institutional authorities for comments by the PCSA on the 23rd of May. The Public Service Commission did make comments to the PCSA on the bill on the 9th of June 2006, and the CSC, once came into the parliamentary processes, gave input on the bill to the portfolio committee in a comprehensive session on the 13th of December 2000. Subsequent to all these activities, bilateral has taken place between the OPSC and the DCSA on the bill. I think this is coming to a completeness. I will then quickly raise the issues that the PSC has raised in its original letter of the 13th of December and then indicate the kind of information that we have to talk about. The areas of concern raised by the CSC at the time in the letter on the 13th of December 2006 really related to the functions of the NCSA and that is how to conduct investigations in terms of Section 5A of the bill, as well as around the consultative and advisory body, the government agency, the area of discipline, the area of grievances, and lastly the timing of the bill. In respect to the function of the MCSA, there was a concern that Section 5A will result in the possible erosion and the duplication of the Public Service Commission's powers to investigate, and there was a feeling that this may be unconstitutional. Around the officer who advisory bodies, which would be established in terms of the bill. The PSC's concern was the extent to which advisory role would interfere with the advisory role of liquor department and the senior managers. It was also not clear to what extent the HCSA will be able to act on advice given to her in relation to the functions of other departments and how this would interface with the executive powers of her colleagues. The advisory body to the established for government agency also raised questions about the impact that this will have on the role of the yes of such agencies and the yes of the department in advising the executive. And the feeling was that this may create problems in providing role clarity on the executive administrative interface. In terms of the government agencies, the bill provides for the establishment of government agencies as a new service delivery model. These agencies will be a supplementary organizational tool within the public service, and this is to enable direct service delivery via focused tool and routine synthesis. DCS agencies will be under the direct control of an EA. A head of an agency will report directly to the relevant EA and will be the accounting officer of the agency. The rationale behind the influencing of the agencies outside the department and the possible explication of department was a point of concern which was raised by the PSC, and this could mean that capacity should broaden the EA within department to ensure that accountability remains within department, rather than engaging capacity outside of the department. Therefore, the PSC at the time sought clarity on whether agencies will be established for every category of service provided by the government, and therefore the concerns about possible duplication and proliferation. The additional issues that were raised was the issue around discipline, and the PSC was really concerned about the sector of resigning prior to the disciplinary process being finalized by public service. And we felt that this practice was inconsistent with the government's commitment to root out corruption. It will have the effect that employees will have a clean record and the alleged misconduct will therefore not be brought to the attention of future employers. The issue around the grievances of employees, there was really a state of ambiguity, and there was a need to clarify the ambiguity that existed in relation to what the proposal was. Around the timing of the bill, it was understood at the time that the Public Service Act would be replaced by the Senior Public Service Act, and was envisaged that this would become effective by 2008. And the PSC was not clear at the stage why the public service bill is introduced within such a short period of time. It will be overtaken by the public service, public service act. Another issue that was currently underway, and which is still currently underway, is the issue of state institutions supporting constitutional democracy, that is the Chapter 9 institutions, as well as the PSC. The outcome of this review process could result in amendments to the situation. We don't know whether this will happen. However, it is expected that this committee's report will be released in June of 2007. Whereas the GPSA representatives expected at the time that the bill will be passed by May 2007. Our feeling was then that the bill will not therefore take into account any of the proposals and the outcomes emanating from the review process. And what would then be the difference of waiting for another month to see whether some proposals from can be accommodated. We had a series of bilaterals with the GCSA since we held those meetings that I just highlighted. Apart from the bilaterals, the GCSA provided a comprehensive written response to the concerns that the GCSC had raised. And from the point of the original concerns, we believe that there has been a noticeable endeavor to address the issues raised by the PSC. And in turn, the PSC has provided a written response to the GPSA on the suggested amendments that the GPSA proposes putting into the bill to address the concerns of the PSC. We have accepted the suggested amendments by the GPSA, and we believe that they deal with the fundamental differences that the Public Service Commission has had with the bill. If you look quickly at the suggested amendments by the GPSA, they have suggested that the proposed Section 5A of the bill, which deals with the power of amateur to conduct an investigation if you omit it. The Public Service Commission fully supports the suggestion. In terms of a clause which obliges licensing authorities to initiate to the CSC's recommendation and issue that we also discussed earlier this morning, the GCSA proposes the inclusion of a clause in the bill which will oblige EA and Record Department to initiate to the Public Service Commission's recommendation within a stipulated period. The GSC in principle agrees with the inclusion of such a clause. However, we do believe that it should be subject to certification by the Chief State Law Advisor to ensure constitutionality of such clause. It was suggested that provision should be made for EA or HOD to check the Public Service Commission to review or amend a recommendation before the expiry of a stipulated period. The CSC agrees with the principle that its recommendations would be subject to review. However, there is a need to look at the most appropriate review mechanism that will ensure the independence of the Public Service Commission. The GCSA has brought to the floor in this regard, which we believe is currently consulting with the Chief State Law Advisor. Around the consultative or advisory bodies, this is an area where it still remains unclear to the Public Service Commission as to why it is necessary to legislate advisory bodies when currently the Minister has the authority to call on anyone or any institution to advise them. It is also not clear whether such proposed advisory bodies will be given additional powers. The view of the Public Service Commission is that the caution that we must be taking effect is that legislating advisory bodies in the way that the bill proposes could result in the progressive relegation of existing statutory bodies and new structures of the state. The proposal by the GCSA for the insertion of a new source to provide for representation by organized labor and other stakeholders has been noted. The principle of participation is always actively promoted by the Public Service Commission. In respect of government agencies, the GCSA has suggested an insertion of a provision along the following lines. The executive authority may only request the establishment of a government agency if the prescribed feasibility study has been conducted and such study recommends its establishment. We believe that these will be visibly in the general intent to contain the possible duplication for proliferation that we were concerned of at the Public Service Commission. We also have been informed by the GCSA, this is an area where they have been holding discussions with other stakeholders, and as a result, they have come forward with proposed amendments to the government agency. And I think they probably will be better placed to speak to these issues. But I think the only caution we say is whatever amendments come into play, consideration and concern must be given containing possible proliferation. In the area of discipline, the proposal of the GCSA that the public service regulation be amended to stipulate that an institution or authority may not approve a shorter notice period if a disciplinary charge is changing against an employee. This we fully support. We still believe that consideration should be given to the insertion of a screening report that if someone resigns while they're assuming disciplinary process, that person will be treated as having been discharged from the public service on account of misconduct, provided that the department finalizes the disciplinary case within a month of receiving the resignation report. If the case is not finalized within such a time frame, then the employee is not deemed to be discharged from the public service on account of misconduct, and the employee should not be treated as for the delay, for the administrative delay of the department. However, we have discussed this with the GCSA, and we accept that any provision has to be done within the legal framework, and they can only accommodate what is possible within the legal framework. In terms of the grievances, I think the issue there was to address the ambiguity. It was suggested that provision must be made for the HOD to lodge a grievance with the CSC. At the moment, that is not the case. It also provision must be made for the HOD to utilize other dispute resolution mechanisms as well. And reference to the exhausting of the medical policies to change that. That is to involve all officials that all the local agencies. The DCSIA is a research that can be the financial disclosure form framework, I think what you were really saying here, if you want to strengthen the financial disclosure framework, some consideration should be given to Section 15A and B of the CFMA, and possibly look at the section and see to what extent you can include a similar section as this year in the proposed one. The timing of the future of the bill, the DPS indicated that the proposed date of commencement for the single public service legislation is now 2009, not 2008. But I think the latter part of our concern about the timing was really to our understanding, we can read that the annual commencement should on target to the recent report in 2007, and we still believe, even though we may not be able to that there could be some outcomes emanating from this proposal that could impact the influence some of the causes in the United and as you say, we would really adapt for 1 month and then 1 month more customers so we need to take people from solidarity and for the people that emanating from that. And I think really in conclusion, we want to say we have a bilateral visit with the CSA. We no longer hold fundamental financial differences with the suggested amendments to the bill. The PSC has, however, provided cautionary advice to the CCSA in respect of certain areas, and we have requested an opportunity to submit the bill once all the amendments have been agreed on have been accepted. Thank you.
I think it reflects exactly what we have agreed upon in your bilateral. Chairperson, we are happy that you would appreciate the opportunity to address the local broadcast.
Mr. Gunn,
we have to make a presentation and not be safe. When we are going to be back in the weather, it's the next expression of what we are doing. If there are no maybe other follow-up questions or maybe questions from the members of the committee, what the subject of the committee is, I want to get over to them. So that's yeah, I was saying that maybe the NEPA allows the CFA to make a presentation. Then we engage for the set to submit.
Over to you,
Thank you very much for this opportunity, Chairperson, and thanks to the Public Service Commission for their presentation, which is a very accurate reflection of the engagement that we have held with them during the course of the development and introduction of the Public Service Commission to Parliament. And we do also note that the Public Service Commission now acknowledges that the DPSA has dealt with fundamental concerns of the Public Service Commission, and we believe that we are all richer for having gone through this process, and indeed the collective wisdom which has characterized this engagement, we believe will lead to an Public Service Amendment goal. We do concur fully that the suggestion we have made to omit Section 5A actually enhances the amendment bill. And as has been indicated, we do propose
proposing to that clause which would give effect by executing authority, executive authority to issue public service commission recommendation. As has been indicated, we will be consulting with stakeholder advisors on the formulation. We will, in this case in particular, but in all other cases where we're looking at amendments arising after the bilateral, we keep closely consulting with the Public Service Commission. We also believe, though, that Clause 24 of the amendment bill will strengthen compliance. So that has been our overarching concern that led us in the first place to propose Section 5A. But we do believe that the way forward is found with the Commission, particularly if we can find an appropriate formulation for giving effect to the Public Service Commission recommendation, will lead to a much more effective amendment bill. We would like to engage in a bit of detail around the issue of the advisory or consultative body. We believe that the bill enables the Minister for the Public Service and Administration to appoint bodies to serve as advisory or consultative bodies on the functions of the public service, the organizational structures and establishments of departments and other organizational and government arrangements in the public service, the conditions of service and other employment practices for employees. And employment practices would include recruitment procedures, advertising and selection criteria, appointment and the appointment process, job and occupational classification and grading, remuneration and other conditions of service, job assignments, the working environment, work facilities, training and development, employee performance management systems and practices, transfers, autonomy, discipline, management of performance and ill health, termination of employment. Also, these advisory consultative bodies would deal with matters of labor relations in the public service, health and wellness of employees, information management in the public service, electronic government, integrity, ethics, conduct and anti-corruption in the public service, and transformation, reform, innovation, and any other matters to improve the effectiveness and efficiency of the public service and its service to the public. Now, as indicated in the presentation by the Public Service Commission, their concern is around role clarification, which remains a challenge. They've also raised the question as to why it's necessary to legislate advisory bodies when currently the Minister has authority to call on anyone or institution to advise her. It's also not clear, they argue, whether bodies would be given additional powers, and that legislating advisory bodies in the way it is proposed could result in greater risk of relegation of existing statutory bodies. We would contend, however, though, that though the Minister may ask advice from anyone or institution, they would not necessarily have a legal duty to furnish such advice. Giving statutory status to a body would give such advice official status, and consequently, this would also lend more credibility to such advice. Now, we know that the Minister is responsible for a wide scope of policy, including organizational and governance matters and HR matters, with its numerous aspects, which I've highlighted in the public service. There's also service delivery in general, and also the use of IT, which includes e-government, and innovation to improve service delivery. Now, given the scope of these policy areas, and the complexity of some of these areas, ad hoc or standing advisory or consultative bodies on specific or specialized areas are, we believe, very strongly desirable to assist the Minister to make effective and efficient policy. Persons from outside the public service could also be appointed to such bodies. And there are a lot of advantages.
such bodies. For example, to debate matters together with the officials. One or more DGs, for example. And we believe that this would certainly enhance the quality of these bodies and the advice they give to the minister. In terms of some of the discussions which happened earlier today in relation to the State of Public Service report, the advisory body to the Minister on Health and Wellness of Employees, and or specifically enhancing disability representativity and working conditions for disabled employees could be an example of such an ad hoc or standing advisory or consultative body that could be established. If we look at another area, advice from officials across the public service in a specific area, chief information officers, we have the detailed council. But at the moment, it is a council with no chief, with no status, and we believe it would be enhanced should we go ahead with this particular provision. At the same time, the advantage of a collective of individuals as opposed to an individual advising on a matter should also be considered by the committee when applying its mind to this particular issue. And then finally, if we look at the issue of funding would surely be more easy to secure if such bodies are legislated. Then the final point we would like to make in relation to the point around the advisory bodies is that there are many other acts of Parliament which provide for advisory bodies to advise the policy-making role of a minister. An example would include the Minister of Education, who may establish bodies to advise on policy areas in terms of Section 11 of the National Education Policy Act, the Immigration Advisory Board, which advises the Minister of Home Affairs on immigration matters, the Advisory Committee to the Minister of Trade and Industry on intellectual property legislation, and then the Cooperative Advisory Board, which advises the Minister of Trade and Industry on policy regarding cooperatives. So we believe that there are precedents in place for the creation of advisory bodies. In terms of the government agencies, I think the Commission has reflected on the consensus which we have achieved with regard to and which was reflected in the previous week's presentation to the committee. And we do, however, note the cautionary words of the Public Service Commission with regard to the government agencies. On the issue of discipline, I think as indicated, we have reached consensus in terms of the specific recommendation around the insertion of a deeming clause of discharge, which the Commission has recommended. I think the problem we have there is we have also reached consensus with SASU on these matters, and it would be very difficult for us, in terms of that particular consensus, to now propose a deeming clause of that nature. However, we are in the process of trying to formulate we have handed out a sheet here where we have looked at a possible formulation, which probably still needs to be tightened. We, as I've indicated, collectively with the sectoral advisors and in consultation with the Commission as well, we will try and come up with a formulation which will deal with the challenge of ensuring that the executing authorities do not approve a shorter notice period if a disciplinary charge is pending against the employee. And the same would go for the issue of grievances, where we have already engaged in some formulations. Again, we will consult with in order to tighten up to make it clear that a head of department may refer a grievance either to the relevant institution, the executive authority, or directly to the Public Service Commission, and that only once EA has dealt with the grievance, may HOD refer a labor dispute or dispute court proceeding. So on the issue of the financial disclosure, I think we all at one. But we do believe that the concerns are covered in terms of code of conduct in Chapter 3 of the Public Service Regulation. We think really the challenge there is to make the framework more effective, and that at the core of the problem is the failure of departments to implement misconduct, because really, or misconduct proceeding, it's about implementing discipline, because that's really what the failure to disclose is all about. It's an act of misconduct and it needs to be dealt with through the discipline process. But we believe that clause 24 will now compel departments to implement disciplinary action. So we would tend to rather try and make the framework more effective, but the committee would need to consider whether we should put specific provisions into the amendment vote. I think the issue of timing has largely been reflected on. Of course, now, in terms of where we are now and how the process is unfolding, we might have hoped that the bill would be tabled by May, but this is not going to happen anyway. So, you know, I don't think we'll be ready to engage in that discussion. And of course, as the Commission has indicated, there could be issues emanating from the, what's it called, the Unconf Commission. The ad hoc committee, sorry, there could be issues which will impact on this work that we are doing here, which is being said that. And then finally, just to indicate that the GPSA would be willing to draft a list of, a comprehensive list of amendments to the committee, to finalize the deliberations. Obviously, that list of amendments would be consultants with state law advisors as well as with the commission to expedite the process. We certainly would be willing to do that if the commission would like us to do that as well. Chairperson, I think that's what we would like to speak on. Thank you very much for the
opportunity. Thank you. Maybe the members is an open now. The two of us already had a memorandum of contention that are agreed in any kind of, is it a compromise for that is that we aim the country to where it must be. So I will think the members that is for the right now and to participate.
The president as a member, you are the fight right that we have to command. I think we may have command with the department. was the input, the contribution from the department in terms of the project that they may be in a position to work in the process of the department. We will express an opinion back to them that it must go into the head of committee. And we suggest that no one can go walk ahead of us. But then it is that way that we need to go into the then I think that's what we have to do. We some questions on both the commission and the department. Let's take this from the ESP submission, slide 11. The second bullet point from the top. Control which applies expected in authority to be described the ESP submission. The PSP thing in principle, you agree with the inclusion of that control subject to specification by the digital advisor. To me, that's not what it means as in principle. When we legislate, we don't have to be guided. Obviously, this qualification is subject to the certification by the dictator and by suggest that something that the committee is not actually happy about. So you are banking on the dictator advisor and did not certify that. If I want to raise that chance, what is it that you can do? We talk to others and the committee. So that if there are technicalities, you are still saying to advisors, maybe led by some technicalities and technicalities, you can advise that may not be necessary. What is it that is necessary for the particular committee? So to them, take out that principle. That qualifies for the need. To me, that's what it is. It's more for the need. Maybe a comment there. Section C, the Public Service Commission expressed that the act of committee process may actually say something that would then suggest that maybe if we were to consider this being post-sexual perception of that word, maybe it would then validate the assessment. And that also suggests that itself suggests that it's just a question of moving along because they are saying you must move along. It's not a question of moving along because the committee is fully satisfied that yes, it's exactly. Suppose the committee report or suppose the committee does not report. What is this public service committee? What is this that you can call activity from the annual committee report? That which if it comes the way your thinking may call the activity. And let's not pass the bus. Let me just put that. And let's not pass the bus and suppose. Let's operate as if there was no other committee set by one of the members that are by now. So what would be those things that would be seeing up on there at the moment? That is it's further strengthening the understanding that there may be a possible erosion of the home of the committee's money. Is that what it is? So that would be the committee. The issue goes to the Public Service Committee, the question for clarity and the department, the issue about the timing. The timing may not be an issue. It may delay, I mean, the bill saying if the Public Service Act will be replaced by the Single Public Service Act 1. I will then say that it will move now. It will move now and pass this bill to be an act. We will just be passing this bill to be an act and it exists for a shorter period of time and then it's repealed and therefore it's not working. Is that what your expert suggests? So that we'll consider that in the committee when our time comes that we encourage people. When we are raising this potential because we have not been there as you can have it by literature food that you have it by the food. But at the same time, we should not ourselves as the whole parliament guided by yourself find ourselves moving just forward and backward and stuff like that. What takes can make it so encouraging, so important that we move this way. Why do I have to say that the thing in public service the you have agreed. I mean, there's some of the competing part of what that's like before now. After the bilateral the public service committee is now towards the that we are moving to something. But there are still things there are still things here that this question they need to say. So what is it that can they say?
And in fact, so when we negotiate in the collective bargaining, you hope to renegotiate the inflation. But then we have lost for the country. We should not assume that this can win. Set up a law for the future generation of this country. That's why we relate this matter. When you look at the questions that were raised, we are simply criticizing ourselves as this parliament on this issue. Because some people from outside are saying this parliament is weak and don't want any loopholes from that nation that should come. When it comes to legalistic things, I'm not a legalist. I want to be sure of what I'm talking about. So that's why we raise this question. We are not putting that in whatever, but we want to be sure. Thank you. Say.
It appears to me that both the Public Service Commission and the industry are quite uncomfortable. But the very first time with the advisory powerful, how the needs are questioned. I don't know whether the needs are questioned by ministerial prerogative or administrative sections, and whether their functions might impact. Or the dream of the public and those other things. Now, one do not know how this is functioning. And it brings about a difficulty as to say that one that was agreed to a presentation that was presented to us. And also, we do not know what is contained in the report. I think that his proposal, change or no change, do not change. And now I believe that if we write this, we might find ourselves then compelled to review what we have already decided. Maybe we should think around. Maybe we should get the cost of that proposal and match them with the proposals that are now for us. And I also do not know whether the CPSA and the Public Service Commission have met the meeting. I myself also had expected the minister to
respond to that growth policy?
Yeah, thank you very much. Let me say up front that when we say we are very satisfied and happy with the fundamental structure of health, beginning in that sense, and there is no question whatsoever on the part of the committee what is being any of the issues here by way of the spoiler.
Follow up on that. Because I must say,
formulate an opinion on this issue, yeah, or not, and the population of it is correct. So we wanted that a clarity from the way of the discussion.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just wanted to reassure the honourable member that we are here under the mandate of the minister. That is the mandate of which we operate. In all the bilateral and engagements we held since the process began, we have been operating under the mandate of the minister. The minister and the chairperson of the commission have also engaged around this mandate. So I think it's important to emphasize that. The advisory body as proposed will be appointed by the minister, and their functions are to advise the minister if we do not believe that this is stringent on the functions of the Public Service Commission, which is a specific issue that the honourable member raised. Chairperson, we do not believe that this is a compromise. We believe that development of the evolution in a more positive direction, which seriously tries to grapple with the role and functions of different institutions we collectively must improve public administration in our country. And therefore, in terms of areas where we have fundamental issues, we believe that the way forward as charted, which hopefully would also ultimately include a clause dealing with giving effect to the recommendations of the Public Service Commission, would enhance the overall quality of the law. So we really see this whole process as having taken us forward in a very positive manner. Obviously, from our side, there's always been a sense of urgency, because we believe that we need to put in place these measures, notwithstanding our intentions and our actions around the single public service process. And certainly, I think from this process, we've learned a lot about the process itself, the whole question of consultation and so on, which will allow us to improve as we move towards introducing the single public service process in Parliament. So once again, thank you for this opportunity, and we believe
report that there is thank you, everybody. It is amazing. I haven't seen you make a mistake. But as I'm not, sometimes you find that the media will make statements as if they are not actually self-aware. You know, I thank you, everyone. Thank you, the committee members. I thank you, PSA. Thank you, everybody. Sometimes I thank myself. Then I think lunch is available and all the services.